With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
Over the past weekend, it was the Wanaka Festival of Colour. And I say the weekend because really there was only one event that I was curious about. And that was part of the conversation series of events they had there. Truth and Lies was the title of this one. And it was on Saturday. And it featured Susie Ferguson, Kate Hannah, Susie Wiles, and Byron C. Clark. And I think the moderator was Catherine Ryan of RNZ. Of course, I, and I'm sure you, are curious to hear what happened in that presentation, that talk. Randall Richards of Mountain Spirit, he was there. Randall, thanks for joining us this morning.
You bet. You bet, Paul. Good to see you.
Okay, so there was anticipation, building anticipation, particularly around this talk, right?
I guess anticipation is one word for it. Dread is more like it for us. We felt like we were going into the lion's den, you know. It was, we weren't looking forward to it, any of us. And there was a group of friends that we formed through VFF originally, and we have a really good, strong connection here in Wanaka. So we're all kind of having this feeling, and some people had to, my wife for one, had to walk out halfway through the thing. So,
oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
So we made a
concerted effort to have a strategic plan and just to be respectful and and we had some goals, which we'll release later what those goals were. Now's not the time, but what's great is what's coming out after the effect, you know, with some of the discussions that are having. I'm encouraging people to put things on my article, you know, the comment section, because there's some great stuff coming out now.
So it was a sellout. I see they said sold out on the website, yeah, 25 ahead. How many people were there in the audience?
Well, that whole, you know, the whole auditorium, we thought it might be in the Armstrong room, but it was in the big auditorium, which we expected. So that place was filled, I don't know, whatever it holds, you know, and the upper balcony was full, almost full as well.
Right. And what was the cross-section of the audience? I mean, I know you were there and there were other people like-minded, let's say, but who was actually there?
I'd say, in general, it was a more retired, my age and older, I guess. So it looked like a lot of retirees, people. None of us recognized any of them, really, most of them. There were a few. The person that ran this, the general manager of the event, recognized her, of course, and some neighbors that we saw. But generally, it was a retired, and it looked like a generally, I don't want to use any judgments here, but it wasn't an open-minded crew from what I gathered, and just the feeling I got as we sat down amongst them, you know.
Okay, so the speakers I mentioned, were they all there?
No. Kate Hannah from the Disinformation Project was a no-show, and I kind of expected that. Yeah.
Oh,
just okay. From her reactions from when Chantel Baker confronted her, I think it was on the East Coast somewhere.
Yeah, but she knew about that long before she signed up for this.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but I just had the feeling they either might pull the plug on the whole thing. I felt it was amazing that they felt that they had the audacity to even show up and present this thing.
Yeah, but she was really the main one in a way.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a bit odd that she wasn't there, and her picture was still on the poster. They had the
It was a late pullout, obviously. They didn't have time to change things around.
I don't know, but she was still on the poster on the stage, you know, so it was a bit odd, yeah.
Okay, who filled in for her, or were they sort of like one engine down?
They were one engine down, yeah. They had four slots on the couch, and she wasn't there, so it was pretty
obvious. It was on the couch.
They had two couches with four glasses of water, if I remember correctly. And,
okay, and what did they say? Let's go through, okay, Susie Ferguson, ex-colleague of mine. I kind of know where she's coming from, but she is a public service broadcaster, and maybe we don't really want to be hearing what she thinks, because she's supposed to be even-handed and editorial standards and all of that sort of stuff.
Well, I'm just kind of going through my article, you know, just through what I wrote again in the article, and the thing I just want to, I'm not going to cover so much what they said, because it wasn't as important as the feeling of it and just how they fell so far short. Other folks will make comments about the specifics. I did take some good notes. But I think it's more important just to get the general idea of the Festival of Color has a mission statement of fostering community discussions, engaging our community of all walks of life, you know, to spark conversations, challenge perceptions, and connect people. None of that happened.
Okay.
You know, that was, they had a discussion, but between them on stage, and there was no questions and answers. And
No Q&A.
No. Well, we kind of expected that as well. So one of our strategic plans was to present questions. We had some good ones that we all came up with as a cohesive group. And then to ask, you know, if there was a Q&A, we'd present them. If there wasn't a Q&A, one of us would stand up and ask, can we present these after the event here on the floor? If that didn't happen, then we said, well, we're going to email them to you, and then you can, you know, we're going to hand them out to the audience on the way out, which we did. But since there wasn't any Q&A, but shortly before the event started, there was an email that said, you know, no phones allowed, no recording. We're going to ask, you send in any questions ahead of time by email, and then we'll review them. And so then none of that happened.
So filtering.
But we did email our questions in.
Filtering the questions they wanted to cherry pick.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. All right.
So, you know, the freedom, I think the thing that got people's attention was when Susie Wiles said, you know, the Bill of Rights and the freedom of speech is not an absolute, you know, if you're killing people, with your voices, you know, with your statements, then that's, you know, and that,
killing people,
yeah, you know, disinformation or misinformation. If you're killing people with telling them not to get the jab, for example,
that could,
yeah. So we're dealing with this kind of thing.
Okay, How did that go down?
Well, I love Roy from Albertown. Arrowtown, wonderful fellow. He just couldn't help him. He didn't get the memo that we were going to be respectful. But he was respectful. In a lot of, he just stood up and said, what about the excess deaths that are, you know, reported? And there was no reaction to the stage. You know, people.
These are supposedly smart people, Randall.
Well, they're uneducated. Yeah, they are smart. And the thing that really got me, this is an overwhelming sense of compassion for these people. I'd never seen any of them in person before. I'd just seen pictures of them and had this image of them. But seeing them on stage, I must say their energy wasn't high. They weren't taking care of themselves. It just appeared to me that you wouldn't want to really have them at a dinner party, which we had after. We had a debrief with all of us. And my 12-year-old son said, I don't think they would blend in too well with us, just as their
personality. Do you think? Okay, so low energy. You said low energy.
Yeah, it's just yeah. So I felt compassion for them. I felt the need to outreach to them. One of our group called me last night and said, you know, you don't even know what they're doing. And yeah, they know not what they do. I put in my article, and they don't, you know, because they're getting, you know, Hegelian dialectic. They're just getting Hegel's, you know, within the frame here, and there's all this stuff going on outside of the discussion. So, you know, whether it's on or off the record, I'd like to connect with them. I don't think I get anywhere, but I saw them as people. And so it was hard to hate them on stage.
Right.
And that nobody or not other people shared that.
Okay. So how did the audience as a whole take it? How did you assess their reaction?
I felt like I was in a paddock of sheep. When Roy stood up and exclaiming, and actually Jerry Pives also was in the back, and he got encouragement from Roy, and he stood up and said, yeah, that I agree with that. But when he would say that, or when they would make a comment about, you know, free speech kills people, there would be these gasps or comments, you know, sighs or whatever, or you know, sit down. So I felt like there's a Native American parable about the mouse that finally left the prairie and went to see the mountains. And I felt exactly like that we were in a paddock of sheep. It was quite palpable, actually.
So as a measurement tool, let's say, to kind of know where we sit in the spectrum of things, what did it give you any information on that?
You mean like the percentage of,
how many woken up people were sitting in that audience compared to.
Well, I love what Penny Marie says. She says there's many avenues to the truth. You know, it's not, there's many gateways. So, and there's different levels of how people wake up. So there's no question it's a waking up thing. It's not like Eckhart Tolle says, we're the better species and you're not. But it does feel, it's not like an ego thing, but there is definitely this split. And I think to bring people along, the only way to do it is to be open-hearted. And and it's really important, I didn't put in my article, which I will, is that it's really important that the people that are unconscious with their decisions that hurt people, that they do face consequences and that we're firm in that. You know, that there has to be some comeuppance for what's been happening. So whether they're doing it, if they're in on the take, they're, you know, where they're being paid or they're being played, doesn't matter. So getting back to your question, in the audience, I don't know, I'd say probably 80, 85, 90% were drunk the Kool-Aid or just not.
Wow. Okay. Good to know where we're at, isn't it?
Yeah, there were quite a few of us in there, but we were definitely felt like we were on the out, you know.
And how are the speakers? Do they look like they thought they'd knocked it out of the park that night?
No, I don't think they. Well, they did have a supportive audience, but it just all felt flat. You know how it is when you're talking to folks that just you can only. It's like with a family member, you're in a group and you can only talk about this within this frame of reference. So it all felt flat, I think, compared to what we're talking about now and RCR and, you know, my blog or whatever. It's just a whole different level of existence in a way. And So it was, you know, what the questions that we proposed to them were challenging for them, you know, like, how does the panel regard it to be true that COVID vaccine was safe and effective? So we were asking them questions that are just, you know, the one person, Catherine Ryan, I think someone put on a comment somewhere that, you know, her truth door is open more than others.
I can imagine that. I know Catherine, so but she's got a job to keep too.
Well, I remember when you and I connected early on in the game, and I asked you to, and I had heard through the grapevine that you were quote unquote open-minded, and you said you weren't quite ready to pull the plug on that analogy.
Yeah. Well, that's history now.
Yeah, but good on you.
All right, Randall, thanks for taking us inside. Where can people read your blog
piece? At blog.mountainspirit.nz. There are a lot of details that will be coming out later about what was said. And, there are other people who can do a bit better. And that Jerry Pipes, for one, has really written writing a good piece now that we'll add to.
And I'm picking that someone must have recorded something in there, even though.
One would think.
Let's see what comes out there, but.
One would
all
think.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, Randall, thanks for coming on this morning and giving us the inside view. And I think you were very tasteful in the way you approached that.
We have to, you know, it's the only way forward, actually. You can't vilify people and dehumanize them, but there were things that were said that were just absurd in there, you know. And we'll get into that in more detail. Yeah.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom by simply visiting www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.